Welcome to Medroom Chronicles. Join nurses and other care providers as they let you in on discussions usually reserved for the privacy of the locked medication room. In this weekly nursing podcast, the filters come off and we tell it like it is. Your hosts, nurses Adrienne Benning and Andrew Craig, are here to educate and entertain on all things in the nursing world. This podcast is intended for nursing students, nurses, nursing assistants, and other care providers. Non-medical folk will probably get a kick out of us too. If you like what you hear, subscribe and share. Happy nursing, folks. Welcome to Medroom Chronicles, everybody. This is Adrienne. This week might be a little strange. I'm not sure how this is going to go. I am attempting a solo show tonight, so we're going to keep it short and sweet. A little bit longer than a quickie, but not quite as long as a full episode, because I just don't know that y'all want to listen to me talk for an hour. What are we going to talk about tonight? So, I thought that I would come and talk to you guys about my first foray into the world of quality improvement in nursing. I am working on my bachelor's degree, and one of the things that I need to do in this second to last semester is to participate in a quality improvement project that is already sort of in progress by one of the clinical nurse leaders, the nurse practice leader that I was assigned to at the hospital where I work. And I got really lucky this semester because she's a nurse that I actually like and have worked with or worked under or around before. And so I feel really lucky to be able to kind of get a direct mentorship from her while I work on this project. So let me just give you a quick little rundown. Now, I will say first and foremost, this is all new to me. I feel very much like a poser in this world of like chart auditing and literature searches and compiling data. Like, it's cool. I like that I'm doing this. But also, I feel like a little kid playing in grown-up clothes because, in a way, I kind of feel like I don't know what I'm doing. And while I have guidance, and great guidance at that, really, this is my responsibility to figure this out. Okay, so, because I got, a cool nurse in the facility where I already work, I also got lucky enough to be able to do this project on the unit where I work with the patient population that I care most about. And that is my unit is essentially a respiratory step-down unit. We also take med-surg overflow, but for the most part, we're focused on the respiratory population. So, the thing that I'm looking at now is an extension of something they already started in the ICUs, and that is looking at using oral care kits and following a particular oral care protocol for patients who are dependent upon us for their oral care. Whether that be because they physically can't brush their teeth or whatever it is that's preventing them from being able to like get up, walk into the bathroom, brush their teeth. So why are we looking at this? We're looking at this because evidence and research is showing that dependent patients who actually have good oral care done have a lower incidence of secondary pneumonia. Why? Well, even healthy adults aspirate a little bit in their sleep, which I didn't know, but is also true. So if healthy adults are aspirating in their sleep, then you know that dependent adults who already have other issues like poor dentition, altered mental status, effective gag reflex, whatever that may be, aspiration risk, NPO status, that is one reason to look at these. Well, those are actually many reasons to look at these patients and whether or not we're doing good oral care, because the risk that that bacteria, whether they're pocketing it in their cheeks, under the tongue, stuck to the roof of the mouth, between the teeth, wherever that is, they're breathing it into their lungs as they sleep. So that's one aspect of this project. The other aspect of good oral care with dependent patients is, in addition to the aspiration that occurs, we're also knocking down the amount of bacteria that's growing in there. I mean, think about it, people. You wake up in the morning, or at least I wake up in the morning First thing I want to do is brush my teeth. I cannot stand the petri dish that is a freshly woken up mouth. It's even worse when you're sick. Think about when you're sick, guys, and what your mouth feels like. Ugh. Now imagine you have no control over your ability to clean your own mouth. It's horrible. We need to be focusing on this. And so the project that I'm doing, we are, you know, we already have these kits that are used for doing oral care on our vented patients, our mechanically ventilated patients. Now we're looking at our non-ventilated patients, the ones that, as I said, are not able to just get up and walk into the bathroom and brush their own teeth. So what are we doing? We're looking at data, and I'm doing chart audits, looking at a million different things, and my head's kind of swimming a little bit. So I've been trying to keep really good notes, almost like a journal. Here's what I did this day. Here's what order I did it in, because there's so much data that, oh my gosh, like even trying to tell all of this to you, I'm not even quite sure how to approach it without making it something you don't want to listen to. So we're not going to do that. What I will say is this, I'm going to try to give you some little jewels of information along the way. Something that I wish I had known, like the minute I started school, college that is, or nursing school, because I've been in college since before this existed, but there's a program called Mendeley, M-E-N-D-E-L-E-Y, Mendeley, and I'm sure there are other programs like it, but it's basically a program that helps you organize research. So when you're digging through databases and journals and you're coming across all of these articles and books and journals that you want to cite in your paper, this is a great way to organize it. At first, I looked at this and I was like, oh, hell no, this looks more complicated than just writing this shit down. But as I've learned how to use it, it makes it so easy to plug in citations, make sure your APA stuff is correct. So I encourage everyone listening, find Mendeley. There's a desktop app. You can get it in your browser as an extension, so you can just click a little button and it adds whatever paper you're looking at in your browser into your list of like stuff that you're saving. You can organize it by folder, you can search by author, by title, you can cross-reference. Like, it is amazing. So if you have to do any research papers, I really recommend you look at this. I'm not going to tell you the ins and outs of how to use it, but like everything else I've preached, there is a YouTube video for pretty much anything you want to learn how to do. So find that, figure out how to use that. So that's the first kind of jewel in this process. So as I'm doing this, I'm learning how to use Epic a little bit better, because at first I was like going in and looking for information. Like, the stuff I'm looking at are which patients are dependent, how do I figure out if they're dependent. So like I'm looking at their Barthel scales, their delirium screenings, whether or not it's charted that they're independent or dependent with oral care, whether or not they have orders for oral care, whether or not they're ventilated, looking at all of these things. So I've kind of been digging around in Epic trying to figure out ways, and let me tell you, I'm pretty computer savvy, and Epic still has like a million and one features that I don't know how to use. So maybe when all of this is said and done, I'll have a little bit better understanding of some of the shortcuts and actual like helpful features that Epic has. So yeah, there's that. So I'm compiling evidence, and where do I want to go from here? Gosh, this is a lot to talk about. What have I done, guys? I did my literary search. So I basically went into my school's database and looked everything up, kept my search terms, figured out what search terms worked well, what databases worked well, went and did some digging, compiled. I have 10 articles just to start. Some of those might get eliminated. I might add more. But these are kind of the core articles that I found that help make my case. I also have a PowerPoint that was given to me by one of the nurse managers that has kind of also been championing this cause of getting people's mouths clean, keeping them from sucking down all this bacteria and food into their lungs. Okay, so yeah, so I did the lit search, and then what did I do after that? I did the chart audit, and you know, the unfortunate thing is at the moment, we have a lot of independent patients on our unit. That's really unusual. Figures it would coincide with the moment that I'm trying to start this project, but this is how it goes in nursing. Like, sometimes you end up with patients that are all total care patients, and you run ragged trying to just keep up with toileting and feeding and basic needs and ADLs. And then you have your independent patients who are still time consuming because they have 9,000 IV antibiotics that are all incompatible, all staggered at all the wrong times. But regardless of all that, in this case, it doesn't help me much since I'm looking at dependent patients. So then what do I do? So tonight I'm sitting here, and before I started to record this, I was just penning an email to my my nurse, the clinical nurse practice leader, who's my preceptor, and basically was telling her, here's what I've done. Oh yeah, that's the other thing I've done. I sent out a survey to all of the nurses and nursing assistants on my unit, asking them to answer a really short series of questions about how they do their oral care, what they believe to be true about oral care, and what their perceptions are about how it affects our patient population. So I did that, sent out the survey. I've gotten like 20 people to respond so far. I used Google Survey for this. Originally, I started to do a SurveyMonkey survey, but then I realized that there are features that I wanted that you have to pay for. And this is for school. I am not doing this to make money, so I am not trying to pay in. Figured out the Google Survey is a great way to get all of my information into a survey that's easy to spread around, that looks nice, is super simple to gather information, and I can just download all of my data into a spreadsheet with the click of a button, which is going to be really easy when it comes time for me to show all this data that I've been gathering. So and then I told you I did the chart audit, and I actually, because I was going through so much data, and I did this over the course of a few hours on my unit, and there were some interruptions, nothing major, but because I wanted to make sure that I didn't lose my process, in the bottom of the spreadsheet, I just, you know, I had a box that I was just typing step by step what I was looking at. So, like, step one, I went to each of the nurses, which on my unit is usually 6 nurses. I went to each of them and asked them if they had any patients that were unable to brush their own teeth. And I use that kind of as the guide for my chart audit. It's a little bit easier in my case because a lot of the patients I know, so I can just look at our unit census and be like, oh, they're independent. And because we have so many independent patients, it made my search really, really short. All right, so basically did the chart audit, spent a couple hours going cross-eyed, looking at Epic, and then made sure I wrote down like everything I was doing so that in a few weeks or many weeks when I go to present this, I'll actually know what the hell it was that I did. My preceptor gave me this really helpful list of like ideas, like kind of a master list of things that you can do to try to introduce a new idea or initiative to a unit. And so I went through it and kind of like picked and chose ones that I thought would be easy, effective, and that I could do quickly. So like, for example, longer term would be like developing a PowerPoint that can be used for computer-based competency testing for all nurses in our division. But that's not something that I can whip up and institute in the number of weeks that I have to complete this project. So I'm looking more at things that are bite-sized, that I can get involved with, and that I can recruit others to help me with. So like one thing that I want to do, I don't know if it's like this at your hospital, but when we need to disseminate information across the unit quickly, probably the fastest way to do it is to hang it on a piece of paper next to the toilet and the staff bathroom. So, I know that I read pretty much everything that's hanging in the bathroom, when I have shifts or I'm blessed enough that I can actually go to the bathroom. My intention is to hang up visual aids that explain, basically, without going into big details, we are going to have two separate oral care kits that hook up to our suction. One for our ventilated dependent patients and one for our non-ventilated dependent patients. So what I want to do is I want to create a poster with basically like two columns, one kit, one oral care kit on one side, the other on the other side. And then underneath categories, like just a quick rapid fire, what are the basics that I need to know about this? When do I use them? How do I use them? Why do I use them? So for example, the orange kit is for your non-vented patients. The green kit is for your vented patients. Stuff like that. Just a super quick snapshot so that when you're in there, doing what you do in the bathroom, you can just take 2 seconds to just look over the sheet and be like, oh, so that's why the kits are different colors. Got it. And then as soon as you step out onto the floor, you now know exactly what you should be doing with those kits. So that's something that's like an example of something that I can do really quickly that doesn't require that I get approval. And well, I'll have to get approval for the sign, but like I don't need to go through a ton of bureaucracy to make this happen. Also, announce this at staff meetings, find people that might be passionate about this topic as well that could help me. Like one of the chairs of a council where I work emailed me and was like, "This is a great project. I was just thinking about something like this. How can we help? How can we get involved?" So right then and there, I've already got another set of hands, another set of ideas, and potentially someone else to help this project grow beyond just like my school project and actually become a project that will grow some legs so it can stand on its own, even after I'm no longer involved with it. So this is kind of where I'm at right now. So I've kind of done my initial assessment. My preceptors pulled data from our storeroom of like how many kits we're using, so that we can look at this as a baseline, and then moving forward, we can see, well, are we using more kits now? Are we documenting on them more? Now that everybody's been educated, are we seeing more oral care, more compliant charting, and as a result, have we seen any decrease in our secondary pneumonia rates? Secondary pneumonia costs a lot of money. It keeps people in the hospital. It gives people an opportunity to hang out longer in the hospital. And by hang out, I mean they're stuck there because they're sick, which just puts you at risk of all the other risks that you're at risk of when you're in the hospital. God, that sentence. Basically, the longer you're in the hospital, the more you risk, all the complications from being stuck in a hospital bed. So I think that this is a project that needs our attention, especially since we're respiratory nurses. We need to be paying attention to the things that are directly connected to our patients' airways, hence their mouths. I know that I have not always been cognizant of this. As I'm going through my shift, I get busy. It's not something that's always at the forefront of my mind. However, I do think about my own values and how embarrassed I feel when I'm talking to someone and I think my breath is bad, how grossed out I am when I wake up in the morning and my mouth tastes like whatever I ate after I didn't brush my teeth before bed. I just think about how my own perceptions are when my mouth is dirty. And then, to add on top of that, the scientific stuff that we already know about how you get pneumonia and who's at risk and why a dirty mouth is bad for your body. So I don't know. I don't know if this information is helpful to anybody, but this is where I'm at so far. Moving forward, I've got a few weeks to implement some education and then come back and reevaluate the data and see if there's been any change. Now, I don't think that I'm going to make a massive dent in our numbers in just the few weeks that I'm doing this project. However, I think it's important that I'm involved in this, even though it's kind of a pain in the ass and it's a lot of work. It's also given me pretty good insight into how much control nurses really do have and how there are things all around us in our day-to-day practice that could use, you know, even the things that work well can use improvement. We are not doing everything perfect. We are not perfect creatures. Our patients do not fit perfect categories. And so there's never going to be something that couldn't use some fresh ideas or another way to look at it. So I don't know. Are you guys involved in quality improvement? Is it something that you're interested in? Really, quality improvement doesn't have to be this big process that I'm talking about with audits and surveys and preceptors and, you know, educational processes and brainstorms. It doesn't have to be that. It can be as simple as saying to someone, hey, this supply that we use is nowhere near the places that we use it. How about we move it? Something that simple can be a matter of quality improvement. Or, you know, people don't know how this is used, so let's do an in-service and, like, get everybody on the same page. Or, you know, we have a lot of new nurses that maybe don't know what the older nurses know. So let's get some of the more experienced nurses to act as change agents and distribute that information. Like, hey, have you seen the in-service on how to use this kit yet? Oh, you haven't? Hey, you got a second? Can I just tell you? Because it's kind of cool. Like, it might help you. It might be useful to you. All of those things are quality improvement. And so I think, while some of this is really academic and painful, it's also really cool to see it in action and to feel like I'm involved with something that people actually think is a good idea and have been thinking about and maybe just didn't have the outlet or the motivation to do something about it. So this is just a small piece of a larger pie that's going to help us reduce our secondary pneumonia rates. But it's really hard to argue the evidence. And when you look at, you know, our, it's kind of like when our institution started doing chlorhexidine bathing on all patients for which there wasn't a contraindication. And we watched our central line infections, like I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I remember the first time I saw them talk about it in a staff meeting, the graph, the rate of infections literally nosedived after the institution of chlorhexidine bathing. So this kind of, I think, has kind of a similar effect where the evidence is pretty strong. And again, I don't think that I'm going to come up with like massive amounts of statistically significant data from what I'm doing, but this is a first step. Get people to use the kits, get people to know what the kits are, and why oral care is so important and why it should be part of our workflow. And you know, maybe if I want to add a little flourish to that, maybe I'll throw in some information about how best to include it in the workflow. You know, our shifts run 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. and vice versa. So we get report and meds are due at 8:30 or 20:30. So we're coming in, we're getting a report, and boom, we're right into it, assessing patients, passing meds. So, you know, are we taking the time to think to grab the oral care kits or to find the oral care kit that should have been in the room from the start of that day? And, you know, making this part of our basic daily cares. And part of it is just getting people to believe that it's going to be something that actually helps our patients. I believe that, you know, the nurses I work with, and most nurses, care about their patients. Why would we do this? Why would we go through this if we didn't care about our patients? So I really think that if we can prove to people that this has a meaningful impact, an immediate meaningful impact for patients, then we can get them to incorporate it in their workflow just as they've incorporated other things, other changes that have come down the line. In the past. So, you guys, I think that's about it. We're maybe 20 minutes here. we'll call this a quickie. I don't know. Should I be talking by myself for 25 minutes? I'll have to work on this. Maybe I'll have to do some more episodes or test runs where I just sit and talk. Because, man, without somebody here to, groan at my terrible jokes, I don't even really feel like I can make jokes. I got nobody to play off of, you guys. I don't know. Come back next week, see if it's more interesting. And in the meantime, go to MedRoomChronicles.com. I spent so much time in the middle of the night redoing this site so that it actually works on your mobile phone. So for those of you that have tried going to the site and it was a mess and you were like, to hell with MedRoomChronicles.com, please give us a second chance. I think I cleaned up my mess. And now you can listen to all of our episodes on the website. And I think I'm going to create some kind of message board. But go and comment on the episodes and tell me what you think. For this episode, what do I want to hear? I want you to talk to me about what quality improvement things you've done, whether it be an official quality improvement project or whether it be something as simple as you moved something at work to make the workflow better. Something simple that really made an impact on your day or your patient's day. So, I think that's it, guys. Thanks for listening and happy nursing. Here at MedRoom Chronicles, we may be uncensored, but we are not unfiltered. Protected health information has been changed and concealed to comply with HIPAA of 1996. The things we talk about are combinations of years of experience with thousands of patients, things we've read, stories we've heard. If you think we're talking about you, trust me, we're not. Also, we're real nurses here to provide accurate and helpful info, but don't take us as fact without doing your own research. Refer to your state's Board of Nursing, Practice Acts, and your institution's policies and procedures if you have questions about your practice. Lastly, our very strong opinions are ours alone and do not reflect those of our employers or educational institutions. Thanks for listening and happy nursing, guys.